You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We are delighted that you have chosen to join us. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome all of you, our friends who share this time with us. We have a fabulous guest today, and I know we will all learn a lot and enjoy every minute of it. So I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, my name is India Key. I am a homeschool mom to four boys here in the Central Ohio area. I also am the homeschool mom life coach. You'll see me on social media, and also the founder of the Homeschool Moms Network. And I operate the Inc. Learning Institute Co., which is classes and programs and resources for homeschoolers.
How
wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. This is wonderful. You have a wonderful life. How did you come to be the homeschool mom life coach?
Well, interesting story. I feel I was led of the Lord to operate in that role here on the earth and to help him bring as many of his children back into the fold through homeschooling as possible.
That is a beyond beautiful vision, and I'm really excited to have you with us today because of your wisdom and your dedication to families. All right, Homeschool 101. What, you know, we don't have to convince many of our friends who listen to homeschool. We're already homeschooling, or we're homeschool friendly, or we think it's a great idea, but what are some of the practical aspects of homeschooling that you would want us to know?
Okay. Well, I do a presentation called Homeschool 101, and I started sharing this information, I think, in 2021. And the reason for it was to help people who are currently homeschooling, but also those really who are looking to transition to homeschooling. For some, it's a daunting idea and can be a bit overwhelming for those starting off in the process. So Homeschool 101 just basically goes over what are the nuts and bolts of homeschooling, what are the things we need to consider before we start and while we're homeschooling, and basically just try to answer questions, provide support to families that are generally trying to make that transition. So they either have preschoolers or they have children that are in brick-and-mortar school. So basically where we start is a definition of homeschooling and helping people understand that there is a difference between what some of the definitions you'll find, which says parent-led education in the home. There's a difference between that and what I consider homeschooling, which is really you're educating your child in the home, but that isn't always parent-led. There are many families that adopt different styles of homeschooling that allows for a child-led education. So I try to make sure that the understanding of homeschooling is more broad, so that it includes as many families as possible, yeah. and allows the children to also have a voice in their education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is fantastic. That's tremendous. I love the fact that you're inclusive, that you are bringing lots of kinds of styles and ways of learning into your definition of homeschool. So can you give us some examples of the styles that families might be using to homeschool?
Yes. The most traditional one is where it is parent-led, and that's where parents will traditionally teach the subject matter to their children. And whatever the subject matter may be, it's a range of things from art to, history. So in that format, the parent is the one who guides the lessons, guides the planning for it. And then there's the others where you have maybe what some would consider unschooling, where they use life really as their curriculum. So that they don't focus as much on book work, unless that's what the child would, desire. But it's really learning from experience from everyday living. So whether they're out in the community and, they're buying groceries and they're helping the parent with the budgeting, or they're, in the kitchen cooking, or they're helping to build something at home, and you're using math and you're using physics. So that is another style of learning, and there's also people more like me where it's a combination of children deciding topics and areas of interest and us leaning into those during the school year and also incorporating the book work. And there's some types of homeschooling where parents will choose what we call a box curriculum. So I'm of the bit where, for whatever reason, I don't know. I've tried box curriculum. I don't follow every day. So I'm an eclectic homeschooler. And that means I just take bits and pieces from different things and I create our curriculum for us at home.
Yes.
But there are some that use box curriculum. And so it's all laid out for them. And it's really easy. They pull it out and they know what to do every day, step by step. And then there's others who will join some type of group learning. So you have people who will join, like, classical education. You'll have people who will join a co-op. You'll have people who will join group classes where they can actually drop their children off. There's other developments recently where you'll have micro schools where their home-educated children or families that get together, and they'll do group learning with maybe two, three, four, five families. So there's all kinds of ways of learning at home. And some of the ones that we've used also include taking classes, whether that's going outside of our home or taking them online. And I know a lot of families do online learning, especially in certain subjects like math or biology, when it gets to some of the more detailed-oriented topics that need to be taught. And maybe, like myself, when it gets to like high school level, definitely will be using a different person to teach it than myself because that's their expertise and it's not mine. So there's so many ways of homeschooling. One of the things that I did want to talk about in regard to homeschooling is actually there's two, but one is people always ask, how much does it cost? Now, if you look online, you'll find numbers from a few hundred to thousands of dollars per student a year. When we started homeschooling, we didn't have that kind of budget. So we learned how to homeschool, for an inexpensive amount per child, where we used free programming and we used our library card. And I'm actually going to be doing a workshop here soon coming up, where I talk about how you can homeschool your children for virtually free. Now, it may take you, a tank of gas a month, but other than that, anyone can homeschool. And so if we take out that limitation of, having a specific curriculum or not feeling as if you have the funds to do it, I think it opens the door to more families being receptive of that call to homeschool. And so one of the ways to do that is there is lots of free resources online for families.
Mm-hmm.
So you, from preschool through high school, you can find resources. And it allows a family to be able to, because if you're one of those families where you really want structured learning for your child, then you've got it. It's there. And there's some families that like to focus on literature. And that is great when you have a library card because you can go there. They can learn so many topics just through reading, just through your family read aloud. You can take, if you, there's something you want to learn about, you can get information from the library and you can create your own unit study on it. And you don't need anything other than that library book, some pen and paper. You don't even need a computer for it if you don't want to type it up. But if you do and you don't have one, libraries have them. So there is absolutely no reason why a family who wants to homeschool has to allow curriculum to be an obstacle in that, because there's so many ways to get what we need without having to have a large budget for a homeschool curriculum. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about is when people start homeschooling, they usually look at the curriculum as like the main part of their homeschool. And I'm really of the philosophy that that's really like a secondary issue. Really, when you homeschool, you want to look at how you're going to create a family lifestyle. When you're homeschoolers, you operate a little differently than other families. And typically, you're going to have your children with you all the time.
Right.
So when I recommend that people start homeschooling, I recommend they start with like a family meeting. First, the adults need to have their meeting. They need to be in agreement, and they need to have those discussions before they have that discussion with the children. I have encountered lots of moms, you know, and I have to say I was one of those where the spouse doesn't necessarily agree with homeschooling from the beginning. And that, again, that does not have to be a detriment as well. As long as you can invite the spouse into the process, what I found most often is that they'll come around to it once they see the outcome, once they see how their children are thriving, how they're learning, you know, how they are engaged in the community and with peers. They usually will turn around that perspective of, you know, it's not what everyone else is doing, and they will see that it's what works for your family. So I always encourage couples to have those conversations to make sure that even if you aren't in total agreement, there are some points of agreement that can serve as a foundation for setting that family culture in your home. And then I recommend that the parents, the adults, sit down with the kids and develop what is your, what's your homeschool going to look like? How is it going to impact your family? How is it going to, like, what are the thoughts, the ideas? What is it that the child wants to be involved in for creating this homeschool? You're going to create a homeschool that everyone loves, and you're going to be creating it together. So it's, I think that's really a bigger focus, because on the other end of this, when I work with moms where they're struggling with homeschooling, what you'll find is there wasn't any point of agreement.
Right.
And there wasn't a conversation before. There was no communication with the spouse or the other adult. There was very little communication with the children. And it's just like, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, back in my day, that would have been fine because, you know, we just did what we were told. However, you know, at this point, you want to make sure that your children feel like they're heard and that there's going to be an adjustment, especially if your child is coming out of the school system. So, you know, the reason why I think setting that home environment first getting your hearts and minds together for what this homeschool journey is going to look like is most important, is because when you understand why you're doing it, everyone understands the why, and they understand the role that they play in it, and mm-hmm. they understand that they matter in the whole, you know, framework, then you end up, when there's pressure points or pain points, they can work through them together. And yeah. when you can do that, you have a homeschool where it's much more successful, and there's much more joy because people feel like they're free. You know, they feel like they can share what's yes. not working for them or what they want. You know, it truly is a lifestyle. And if it is a lifestyle, it must include everyone that's a part of that journey. Mm-hmm. So I really take that perspective, and especially with new homeschoolers and those, again, coming out of the public or private school setting, because it is so different when you're schooling your children at home. Uh-huh. So those are, you know, two of the things that I like for people to be aware of before they start homeschooling. And the curriculum piece, it generally will fall in place.
Yes.
When people allow themselves to explore. So, and I never recommend that people, like, you know, spend hundreds of dollars or really decide, well, this is the only curriculum we're going to use. Because once you get started with it, you may find that it doesn't lend itself to your child's learning style nor your teaching style.
Uh-huh.
So I really encourage people. There's lots of Facebook groups where you can, you know, try out some curriculum. You can get a discounted rate. You might have a few scribbles on a couple of pages, but you can still use it and find out, is this something that we're really going to like? And that before I invest in it, I can, you know, figure that out through some, you know, some experience with it first. So I really do encourage families to do that. And then the other thing is, when you're looking at curriculum, like, you want to look at how much is going to be required from you as the parent.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. you know, there's some curriculum that's really I call it parent intensive, mm-hmm. and you really have to be there for every single lesson to do every step. And for some parents, that would be okay, but when you're schooling multiple children, like I have four kids that I have to school, and that kind of thing for every single subject is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanna, because, and you know, and I always tell parents this. Homeschooling is as much about the parent as it is the child.
Wow.
So if, mm-hmm. Right. Because if you pick a curriculum that, you know, you're not enjoying or you don't want to teach, your child, one's going to pick up on it, and two, you're more likely to skip those subjects
because mm-hmm. yes.
mm-hmm. you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I encourage people to find something that they all can enjoy. And if it's not possible, if you found like a curriculum that really works well for your student, but you don't want to be the one teaching it, then that's something that I recommend you outsource.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's several ways to do that as well. And some of them are free.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That is so helpful. I mean, this is wonderful. I am so blessed that you're sharing this with us, because we are starting our journey. We literally have an actual preschooler, age four, and
you're wonderful.
Starting our homeschool journey. So this is just like, I'm just like a sponge soaking up all this wisdom that you're sharing with us. And but there's one other conversation I think we have to have too, and that's with the powers that be, whether that's the government or the school district. How do we handle that part of homeschooling? I mean, we can't just build a one-room schoolhouse in the backyard and say, okay, here we go, right? There are certain things we have to do in order to make our education legal and valid, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. So there's the first thing when people are looking at, well, what's required for me in my state? Now, there's a couple of places you can go to find the information. I always recommend first HSLDA, which is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association.
Uh-huh.
And I recommend them first. And I know that some people would disagree, and I'm okay with that. But I do recommend HSLDA first, because they take into account the rights of, you know, parents as the people that should be educating their children. So they're going to encourage you to share the least amount of required information as possible.
Oh, okay.
Now, So by that, I mean, you give them what's required and you don't have to give anything extra. And I like that because I like as little government as possible. And again, I know it's not for everyone, but HSLDA, if you go onto their website, they have a page and it has the big USA map. You click your state and you open it up and it tells you all of the regulations for your state for how you can begin the homeschool process. And you pretty much, once you've figured out the, what I call like the foundation, the nuts and bolts part of it, once you cover that, then the rest of it is your unique, you know, family's schooling philosophies you can add around that.
Uh-huh.
But you definitely want to know your state requirements because you want to do it legally and you want to be comfortable with it and not feeling as if, you know, you've left something out. So once you get that down, and then Ohio, and I understand just from calling into the station that you are located, your station's located here in the central Ohio area. So in Ohio, they had a huge change in the homeschool law. So I don't know. Can I spend some time talking a little bit about that? Or
please, by all means. Yes, please.
Okay. So in Ohio, it doesn't take place until, I believe, after August 31st. But you want to make sure that when you're submitting your information for this school year, you're submitting what we call a notice of intent to homeschool. And that's to your district to let them know that your child will not be in a seat in their district this school year. And again, I recommend only for children who are of the compulsory age. So you only required to submit this information if your child in the state of Ohio is 6. So if you have a child younger than that, you are not required. That does not mean you can't be teaching kindergarten and first grade information to a 5-year-old if your 5-year-old is ready for that, but you don't have to notify the state. So then once you decide, you know, what you're doing and you're going to be notifying for this year, you want to do the notice of intent and you want to do the notice of exemption. Because what's going to happen is all the requirements that we had for people who were going the traditional homeschool route, you won't have many of those requirements in subsequent years. So this year, you'd have to send that. And if your student was homeschooled last year, you'll also want to include an assessment of their work from last year. And that consists of a portfolio. And that portfolio can be a teacher that you've selected who has their license. They can review it's really a sampling of your student's coursework, so it gives them a clue of what their ability level is.
Yes.
And they sign off saying that the work that your student has completed is, you know, consistent with their abilities and that they're showing progress. So the teacher signs that off, and you have to submit that with your notice of intent and your notice of exemption. And the reason that you're going to submit two this year instead of just the notice of intent is so that when the law changes, you're covered and you don't have to send in more information after, I believe it's August 31st. So you want to get both of those in. And then I always recommend that people send it like return receipt where you get the little green card. Because then you have your proof that you've sent them the notice and the exemption. It's their responsibility, by them, I mean your school district, to send you back the card. It's their responsibility to get the information and, you know, be aware. As long as you've sent it in, that's the end of your job. And so for the notice of intent, it has an addendum for our parents, and that addendum will include a list of curriculum that you'll be using, and then a list of like activities that will support each of the subjects. I believe there's like 9 subject areas you have to include for the notice of intent. And then your assessment. Now, you also have to be in Ohio under old law. You have to be 18 and have a diploma at least.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be changing because when the new law goes into effect, it's so wonderful. You don't have to say that you have any type of schooling of your own. Again, you have a lot more freedom. So the only thing that you will send in is your name, your child's name, and an assurance that you're going to teach, I think it's a required five to six subjects. So you send that in, and then you're done, which is so much better than what you have to do currently. You have to also, this school year before the law changes, you have to basically tell them that you're going to be schooling for, I think it's like 900 hours. So it works out to be 5 hours a day for the homeschooling, you know, time. But again, with the new law, there's no hours that will be required at all.
Oh, wow.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
I think that's wonderful. And at the same time, because now with the new law, and with the current assessment, you have to tell them, like, you know, again, who's going to be doing your teaching, right? So if you're not going to be doing the teaching, you're going to get a tutor for, I don't know, like Spanish. You have to put that down. Now, when laws change, we won't have to do that in subsequent years. So the subjects that we'll be required to teach will be English, language arts, mathematics, science, history, government, and social studies. And that's under the new law. Now, with the old law, we had to do physical education, health, art, music, fire safety, reading. So there were many more subjects we had to teach. And I understand that there are some people that are, like, concerned, like, since you don't have to do those now, are we going to have students who are not getting the education they're supposed to get?
Oh.
Personally, that's not a concern for me. I don't know any homeschooler.
No,
that doesn't
I don't
want
either.
Their kids. Right. You don't want your, no, there's no homeschoolers that want their children to not have the knowledge that they need to have to succeed, to succeed in our society. Like, I don't know anyone who.
Never. I mean, in fact, so many of the homeschooling families I know, the reason they're homeschooling is because they want more education for their children. They want more knowledge and opportunities than they feel like they can get in another kind of schooling.
Absolutely. I very much agree with that. And that has been my experience over the last 10 years of homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it generally, those kind of concerns generally don't come from the homeschool community.
Mm-hmm.
It usually comes from people who are like, what? Like, you don't have, you know, that are more worried that kids aren't going to be socialized. I don't really understand that as well, because homeschool children have more opportunities for socialization than children who are, you know, stuck in a classroom all day.
Right, and told not to talk, told be quiet,
right.
Don't talk. And then the socialization is, you know, 30 minutes for lunch and recess or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, whereas in life there is constantly, and it's intergenerational, it's diverse, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can socialize with all kinds of different people and learn from them as well. That brings me to something. I got to go to commercial and pay a few bills, but this has been so enlightening and will continue to be. But when we come back, I want to keep talking about this most definitely. And there's a word that you said that I think we should talk about when we come back, and that's community.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to these commercials, pay a few bills, and when we come back, oh, it's going to be more of our wonderful guests. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute! They told us we had it all. Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? Just clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I am loving every minute of this conversation. What a dynamic guest we have today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is India Keith, and I am the Homeschool Mom Life Coach, founder of the Homeschool Moms Network, and I have a business, Think Learning Institute, where I provide services and classes and resources for homeschoolers.
Oh, how marvelous. Now, will you please tell us how we can connect with you and get some of these resources, learn from you, join these networks, just get connected?
Sure. The Homeschool Moms Network, that is a private Facebook group. So you can just search that, Homeschool Moms Network, and you'll know you're in the right spot because it's pink and black and white. That's what our logo looks like. And that is a group for homeschool moms around the world to join. They'll see my face in there. They'll see posts from my assistant. She posts, you know, something every day. Mainly we want to keep moms encouraged and we want to be a support to the mom.
Oh,
and the
that's wonderful.
Yeah. We do that because there are a gazillion groups for the kids. Like, you're going to find, if you search, I mean, you just have to, that's what I did. I'll keep this short. When I first started homeschooling, I had no idea what it was. I just knew from my first son's experience in kindergarten that I would be teaching my children at home. And I didn't know how to find other people that did this. Uh-huh. And I just so happened to see a family called the Brainy Bunch, I think it was, on a morning talk show. Mona Lisa and Kip. Yeah, I saw them on the talk show. And I listened to them and I found out that, oh, what I want to do is homeschooling. And you have the opportunity to do so many things with your kids. And so I got on Facebook and just put in homeschooling, and a gazillion groups popped up, and then the ones that were local. Once I got into the homeschool community, once I found out that I could find everything for my kids, but there were so many moms who were posting how tired and worn out they were, how they were at their wit's end, and how they just needed a break, and they wanted something for moms. And that's really how the Homeschool Moms Network came to be. Wow. And we're growing, we're developing. I'm coming to a better understanding of how I can support the homeschool moms. And yes, it says Homeschool Moms Network, but it's really for all homeschoolers. So if there's a dad, and I've met dads who are the primary schooler in the family.
Yeah, grandparents too. I've met grandparents that are doing it too.
So. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So have I. So whoever is doing the schooling, that the Homeschool Moms Network is for you. And we really want to be able to answer homeschool moms' questions, provide encouragement, provide support, offer classes for the children, and at the same time, offer fun activities for the family.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up in the fall, we will have a couple of programs that we're doing for homeschool families. And the Homeschool Moms Network is really, we're also looking for moms that want to be what we consider to be ambassadors to help us get the word out, to expand the network, to join, to have more families and more moms join so that we can be of support to them.
That's beautiful.
Sorry.
That's beautiful. I mean, and so we encourage you. I mean, all of our friends that listen, I know we have friends in 160 countries, all 50 states. And so, you know, perhaps some of the information will be different for your area where you live. So please look it up. But this sounds like a wonderful thing that we all can join and, you know, help one another, encourage one another. And that brings us to community, you know. Yes, I'm Indigenous, and so we're tribal. We're enrolled members of a recognized tribe, and so we think like a tribe, right? Which is that everyone has a place, and we're all helping each other. And whenever something fails, our elders always tell us that it's a failure to have community. And so what's the important part of community in Homeschooling 101?
Well, one of the things that it's so important with the community piece is there's two pieces to it. One is definitely for the children to have others that they can spend time with, that, you know, outside of the home, where they can form friendships and relationships with others. They can engage in, you know, activities together. They can have, you know, true friends. And that's wonderful for the children, but I think sometimes even more so for the homeschool parent or the whoever's doing the homeschooling. When you can develop a community of people, and, you know, and I, the homeschool moms in the group, they know, I call them, they're my peeps. When I find homeschoolers, I am able to, we feel connected, right? We feel like we are not alone. We feel like if we have a problem or we don't understand something, we have someone that we can go to. We feel like if we're having a rough day, you know, we can just reach out. You know, there's this mom that I know, she's, you know, she's a really good encourager. Let me call her. Or this other mom, I know she's going through something. Let me like send her, you know, a little message, something that brightens her day. Because when you can function as we're not separate from one another, we are in this together, then you find that the community has the answers that you need. Sometimes the answers are obvious because, and you can, you know, see what the question is. Sometimes they're not. And it, I think it's more for people who are concerned and worried that they're not doing it right, that they're going to fail their children, that, you know, I see so many moms posting about not being the mom they want to be, not feeling like they're equipped to do the job, feeling like, with being a mom, being a wife, being a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Some moms are also breadwinners. Like, there's so many roles they have to play. They're exhausted. Like, how are you doing this? How are you doing it more efficiently than I am? Like, what are your tools? What are your tips? And I believe that with community, you're able to get that, you know, that kind of love. People can love on you, and like they can let you know that you're having a human experience, and what you're feeling, it's okay, right? And I said this to a mom recently. Like, I don't know any homeschool family that doesn't at some point go through a little bit of growing pain. I think it's a part of the process. So it's something to be embraced and not to feel condemned about. And so we try to make sure that parents and families know that it's okay. All of it's okay. It's just part of the lifestyle we lead. So that's pretty much, I think, what we're trying to do with building that community.
Yeah.
You know, and one piece of it that I think is really important as well is the fun part, because, you know, I see a lot of people, and I'll say I went this way too. I was really serious about, you know, the education piece. And not that I'm not serious about it anymore, it's that I've learned to embrace the fun, because when children are having fun, they're learning much more easily than if it's forced. So we try to create opportunities for there to be fun for the entire family.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say family is because sometimes the parent or the person who's not doing the schooling gets left out. It's not intentional.
Right.
It's just that sometimes what happens, because whoever's doing the schooling is spending the majority of the day and time with the children.
Uh-huh.
So we try to, and most times I will say it's the father who is left out. So we try to create these opportunities for moms, dads, kids, bring the grandparents, you know, aunts and uncles. My goodness, so sorry. Aunts and uncles, bring everyone together and, you know, enjoy the freedom we have to homeschool, because that is, it's an amazing freedom. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, but don't ever take it for granted.
Right. You know, please don't. Please don't.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And So that's what I encourage our homeschool moms to do. And we're growing in our offerings for the homeschool community. So,
beautiful.
You know, we've got so many more things planned for next year, for the end of this year. So, we do. We look forward to it. But I do post those things in the Homeschool Moms Network group. The other thing is my homeschool mom, the homeschool mom life coach, that's where I'm learning to actually create workshops and courses that I'll be able to offer, so that there are moms who just want to reinvent their homeschool, or there's new moms to homeschooling. There'll be offerings for all of us.
Oh, how great. That is terrific. You know, one of the things I keep thinking, you know, as Indigenous people, we have a very complicated relationship with public education, or with, you know, government-sponsored education, the boarding schools, the residential schools. I mean, we have a very challenging relationship with education, traditional education. And that is one of the things, that education was not fun. In fact, it was tormenting and abusive during those years. And so when I see families reclaiming the fun of learning, not trying to recreate the classroom in their extra bedroom, but they're actually they're reclaiming that this should be joyful, you know, that this should be an exploration that brings us joy and light, you know, to the man who is good in his sight. The Lord gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And I think there is an important thing that you're saying there, that, you know, if you think you're just going to put your hair up in a bun and, you know, wear black and be really stern with your kids, you know, then that you're missing it. You're missing the most wonderful part of what you have as a homeschooling family, is that you can have joy. Everyone else's kids are moving around to the sound of the bell, or dealing with bullies, or having to sit in little desks and straight lines, and your children are laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your children are smiling, but they're also learning. And yes. so as we think about these kinds of things, what's the hope of homeschooling? Like, when you do all of this, when you have your curriculum and your community and you have your vision and your meeting and you work everything out with the government and you're homeschooling, what's it really all for?
Mm-hmm. You know, I will have to say that it's going to be an individual, like, family by family. Mm-hmm. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that personally for me and my family, we are raising children of God who
yes.
know who they are,
mm-hmm.
why he created them, and they're not mm-hmm. wasting time in the government system mm-hmm. going through, you know, their check boxes, but they're really coming into who they are earlier in life so that they can,
yes.
you know, walk the path that God has for them mm-hmm. and not be distracted by things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our goal here in our homeschool. And it's, I believe it's a high calling.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, you know, the enemy tries to interrupt that call for lots of families.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's why God put me here on this earth, to encourage them so that they know that whether they're facing homelessness,
mm-hmm.
separation, divorce,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it is, whatever they're facing, they can still raise their babies the way they want to. They do
mm-hmm.
not have to give them to the government,
mm-hmm.
you know, to indoctrinate them. No, you can keep your babies at home and you can train them in the way that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not abnormal. It really is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government, and you know, up to 1850s, that's the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the government has done a great job in making people feel like having your kids at home with you and training them in your lifestyle, the way you want them to be, is something that should be shunned. It's unconventional, or those are the weird people. Like, you'll hear all these kind of statements, and I believe that those are, you know, directly from the enemy. And that's
mm-hmm.
because the enemy is after the kids. And if we
right.
put them in the system, then they're, you know, much more easily accessible to the world and the pitfalls of the world.
Uh-huh.
And I truly believe that homeschooling is, you know, and I'm kind of coaching this a little bit from a woman that I follow, and she's taught me how to create income at home so that I can stay at home with my babies. And her name is Joy Anderson.
Oh, okay.
And she said that God gave her the call to bring the mothers home.
Yes.
So that mm-hmm. they could be home with their babies, and you don't have to sacrifice your children to go out into the workforce so you can provide for them. You
mm-hmm.
can provide for them while you're at home with them.
Yes.
And
yes.
I believe that God had the call on my life to help bring the children home. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like helping mm-hmm. parents, you know, and it begins with kind of what I said before, with creating that family lifestyle.
Yeah.
The only way to create that kind of family lifestyle for homeschooling to be successful is with the right mindset. And that's why I try to work with families and help them understand that the book work, that's going to come.
Yes.
What you really need to make sure you have is a solid foundation at home first.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that everybody, you have agreement. You need to make sure that you're working together in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that, then the rest of that is just, you know, icing on the cake, and it makes your whole homeschooling, you know, it makes it much better.
Yes.
But those aren't the things that will sustain you when you start to struggle, or as you're tired, or your workload increases, you know, or you have a child that's difficult to teach, or one that has some disability that makes it difficult to learn. It's not going to be what keeps you in the homeschool journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing, like as you asked, it's knowing your why. Why are you doing this? What is
yeah.
your goal?
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing that that helps you get through the other stuff. Because, again, I haven't met a family that doesn't struggle at some point. But it's when you're strong in the reason why, and I consider it strong in your conviction to educate your children and not let the government do it, then you don't have to feel like there's ever going to be a point where you give up. And that's what I hope to be able to help families know, is you never have to give up. Not finances has to get in your way, not your other family members' opinions of you, none of it. Because, you know, when you're doing this, you're doing it because it is what's best for your children.
I am so grateful for you saying that. You know, in Indigenous cultures all across the planet, all schooling was homeschooling.
That's right.
Traditionally, the elders identified your gifts and talents, and then you started working with people who knew. Maybe you're great at basket weaving, and you're terrific at hunting, and you're amazing at beadwork, and you're just terrific with children. Then you would start being around the older people who did those things. You know, you would learn about medicine, and you would learn about wisdom. You would learn about tribal ways and all, and that was your education. And when you, as you grew in that education, which is a lifelong activity, it gave you a place. It gave you a community. It gave you honor and respect. It gave you purpose and destiny and meaning and vision. You know, somebody said, "Who are you?" You didn't go, "I don't know." You know, "What do you want to be?" "I don't know." You know who you were and what you were supposed to be doing. And that's what God has said. You know, he told Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb, he knew him.
That's right.
He had already given him a purpose and a destiny. Well, we have children that God knows right now. And I was really excited to share this with you because this happened the other day. And this gentleman was doing some yard work and taking care of some plants in the garden. And he was just talking about how there were some things you have to protect these plants. And, okay, they can't be out in bright sunlight until they get to this size. And now these are from the greenhouse, and they stay in the greenhouse until they're ready to be planted and all. And I thought, now all of this protection for plants, and yet when it comes to our children, we're like, well, good luck. First day of school, hope you don't meet any, you know, hope you don't get your heart broken or get bullied or even shot, God forbid. We just, good luck, children. Do the best you can, you know. And yet he was talking about all these things you do for saplings and seedlings and plants to protect them. And I thought, well, shouldn't we be protecting our very young children as well? I mean, you know, my granddaddy used to say that pain will knock on your door, so you have to schedule and plan your joy. And that's how I see this. I mean, okay, life is long. Things are going to happen, but they don't have to happen in the first grade. You know, give them a minute to strengthen them and nurture them. And then when they get to this point, then you can put them outside in the sun and the rain. Oh, I said. And so I couldn't wait to tell that to you because I thought, oh, that'll preach. You know, like, you know, you know, I mean, after, oh, we take such good care of these things and then we put them out in the elements. So what is, when someone else asks you, oh, why are you homeschooling? Or, oh, you know, or aren't you afraid they won't be socialized? Or aren't they missing out and all of that? What's the best answer someone can give?
Right. You know, it's so funny. Some of my family members have said exactly those things. And then later on, as the years have gone by, I'm like, man, I wish I had homeschooled my kids. So, you know, my response usually is, you know, I feel like this is what God has called me to do for my babies. And it is my responsibility to raise them. It's my responsibility to do everything that's required for them, including educating or schooling or preparing them for the next stage once they leave my home, whether that's trade work or college or entrepreneurship, whatever it is, it's my job to prepare them. And I, you know, we get so many people talk about that socialization thing. And it's so funny because our children who are homeschooled, you know, we're able to have conversations with just about anyone.
Yes.
And I think it takes away this kind of fear of, like, older kids or fear of adults. And I don't mean fear as, like, you're going to go in and just have, like, any kind of conversation with anyone. But you're not afraid to speak respectfully about things with older people.
Yes.
And I think I like that. I like that. I like to see that in my boys. I like that they can go ask, you know, like a store clerk or a cashier or the librarian for things that they need, and they can speak intelligently, not be fearful or ashamed. You know what I mean? Like they're not weak minded people, you know, and I appreciate what homeschooling has done to build that in them. And to also relate to peers that are different than them. You know, I don't think it's typical for like my 8-year-old to only talk to 8-year-olds. Like, that's not the world. So, you know, I like that he has an opportunity, that all of them have an opportunity to get to know children of all different ages and to be schooled with them. So it's a beautiful thing to see your older kids working with your little ones. And I'm like, know, and sometimes I'm like, or for like my little ones to go to the older boys for answers to their questions. I'm like, well, mommy can help you with that. Like, oh, no, that's okay. You know, but, you know, but that, it's a beautiful thing to see. And to, you know, and there's studies that show to retain information, one of the best things to do is to teach it to someone else. So
that's
awesome. You know, so that's one of the things that you can do with homeschooling as well. But to answer your question, I just basically share with people that it is a call that's on my life. It's my responsibility. They're my babies, and I prepare them for life outside of my home.
I love it. You know, and if it's not your call, that's okay. You know, we're not going to roll up on your house and force you to do something that you don't want to do. We're just talking about this today because we're passionate about it. It's on our heart. And if that's not your path, then that's okay, too. You know, we're okay with that. You know, I spent most of my career teaching at the university level. And even when I was getting my master's and my PhD, I would always think, I was equipping myself to homeschool my future children. Like, I thought that way. Like, I'm getting ready for my children, you know. And then I taught other people's children. And people said, how wonderful. Oh, what a great thing. How great that you would teach. Oh, how wonderful. And then you say, well, I'm going to teach my own children. What? You can't do that. You're not qualified to do that. I'm like, what? They used to give me a check over there. And what? You know, it's like suddenly I became unqualified. What? And so... And so, you know, I just want to say to our friends who are listening that if God is calling you to do this, then he's going to help you do it. He's not going to just leave you out there like, well, uh-oh, you're making a mess. No, he's going to help you. He's going to help you do this. If this is your call for your family, then God is going to walk with you in it. And that's why I have loved every minute of this conversation today. Is there anything you want to tell us about homeschooling 101 that we don't already know?
Well, I just maybe leave you with a final thought, and that is that homeschooling, you know, has the potential to be one of the most wonderful things that you can do with your family. And remember that when you join, and I say this at Ink Learning Institute, when you join learning with laughter, you have the best result. So I encourage people to definitely cover all of the academic areas, but also have fun with your kids, have fun with your family, enjoy the process. It may be a long journey because you may have, like you said preschooler, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, day one.
You may be at the very beginning of it, or you may be, you know, like me, I'm in the middle, and there's several more years to go. So if you're going to be involved in a lifestyle, you might as well have fun while you do it. And I think that's where... sometimes we forget that because we're so focused on the academics, but there should be joy in learning.
Well, there has been so much joy in visiting with you. Thank you so much for joining us today and for all your wisdom and kindness and encouragement. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has truly been an honor, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about homeschooling and to help families know that if homeschooling is what they want to do, it is possible for them. I am always willing to help. Again, I'm India Keith, the Homeschool Mom Life Coach. You can find me on social media, and you can also join the Homeschool Moms Network, where we'll be there to support you along your journey.
Beautiful. And thank you to all of you who listen. You know, you could be doing anything with your time, and you share it with us, and we're grateful for that. Thank you to this network, to all our friends and sponsors and donors who make this labor of love possible. And most of all, we thank God. We thank God.
And I thank God for all of you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together next time. See you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.